Now that my husband Paul and Wild Song are triumphantly nearly back from the South Atlantic, I am contemplating his tales of the hard labour involved in transforming her from a boat that hangs out with penguins and glaciers in snowy Patagonian anchorages into one suitable for scorchingly carcinogenic, sweaty, tropical, equatorial sailing, and then finally retransforming her into one fit for Britain's chilly nights, easterly gales and torrential rain. This is no small undertaking, stowage-wise. Head south, and you have to dig out the bimini and its wonky frame and the wind scoop to direct breezes down the forehatch and the tilly hat with the special air vents on the side and the plug-in or battery fans for the bunks and the gossamer-light cotton sheets to keep your poor body off the sweaty vinyl. Given the need to conserve fuel and power and the natural treachery of fridges, you have to provision the boat too, with all things tinned and dehydrated. Store your hard apples and potatoes with a delicate fastidiousness. Barricade your Tupperware against tropical insects and have a stern word with that hand of green bananas, which you devoutly hope will last a whole week. You also have to store away in waterproof bags your sweaters, fleeces, padded trousers, mid-layer, thermal silks, headovers, balaclavas and cherished beanies and bobble hats. And, of course, find somewhere to put the sleeping bags, which are so sweaty nylon-y that you can't bear to look at them for fear of expiring of heat stroke. And then what happens? You cross both tropics and the equator and you're pointing south again. And suddenly one day you're past the River Plate and the wind gets colder and nastier and the splashes of salt water hitting you in the face are not a refreshing treat but a shuddery shock. So you've got to reconfigure everything again. Where are the thermals and the sweaters and the comforting hats? And will the forecastle storage out of which you drag them be a good place to put the windscoop and the bimini and that ridiculous light weather sail which you clearly won't need again for some time? And on the subject of storage, why is the warm clothes locker, the really handy one, still full of junk? The stuff you stuffed in there when you were living all day in the same pair of salty shorts and sleeping in a sarong. And talking of sleep, is that a rare tropical mould growing all over your beloved three-season sleeping bag in its plastic sack? And how could you ever have shoved it so crossly and uncaringly into that damp corner of the forecastle when it's now clear that the bag is all that stands between you and hypothermia? So you get it all sorted out and the whole boat restowed for the chill and you have your fun down there among the penguins and glaciers and seals. And then you turn around and head for home in your nice warm boat and... Oh, tropics coming up again. All must be restowed for the heat until the northern hemisphere gets more northern, the Azores are astern and the search for warm things begins again. Or at least for temperate things, the kind that sensible European sailors use all the time. Canvas trousers and smocks and cosy windbreakers and boots that suit all weathers. I am rather hoping that when Paul reads this and remembers all that faffing about in foreign climes, he gives up any loony ideas he may have about us going further north for another shot at Iceland. Let us settle into temperate cruising between Azores and Shetland, Gibraltar and Baltic. Why go to extremes when you don't have to?